The GAA program with Tom Comack, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, catering for clubs and schools with customised team wear.
Well, we've got a bumper program lined up for you tonight. Later in the program, ahead of Ulster Ladies' 25th anniversary banquet on Saturday night in Kelly's Inn, I'm joined by two stalwarts of the game in ladies football over the last 25 years, Hugh Devaney of Donegal and Pat Chapman from Fermanagh, to reflect on the last 2.5 decades of ladies football in the province. And but that's coming up. But I must say, first of all, I'm delighted to say I'm joined by the Ulster Junior Hurling Champions, Setanta captain Kevin Campbell, the man who masterminded last Sunday's success and Ulster final victory over Namaya from Derry, Paul Campbell. And back in the studio again for the second week in a row, Jason Ewing, becoming part of the furniture here on a Wednesday night piece, and of course, chairman of Setanta. First of all, lads, a very good night, and you're very welcome, and really congratulations. I know you're looking a little bit worse at the wear as well, but it was a tough game, I know that. Kevin, first of all, congratulations, captain of the side. First ever Setanta team to win an Ulster title.
Thanks very much, Tom. It's great to get it. And it's just this days like that you can't dream of since you're a young boy. And, you know, thankfully, the boys were just the goods at the weekend, and we got over the line. And it's just great to get for the club, and you know, great to get for the Pirates and the community and all the hurling people around Donegal.
Yeah, because you had been there twice before. I know you were part of the team in 2007 and 2008, and obviously it was a long wait to get back.
Definitely. You know, like we talked about, 2007, 2008. We thought, you know, we'd go on Ulster next year, and it was only a matter of just getting there. And you know, we're quite fortunate then just to win the county this year in the first place. And then Ulster was, you know, we had set Ulster as one of our targets at the beginning of the year. But, you know, it's always very difficult to get out of Donegal. And, you know, thankfully, you know, when you want to get out of Donegal, we had a right chance at Ulster. And, you know, it was great to get over the line and kind of a wee bit of redemption for 07 and 08.
And tell me, how have the celebrations gone?
It was I don't think there's ever scenes like that before in the cross. And that was great. You know, there's kids there from 4 and 5 years of age, right up to men 80 and 90 years of age, and it's just, you know, brought the whole community together, and it was just a fantastic couple of days there. So it was,
yeah, I'm sure a tear was shed too, was there?
There definitely was tears of joy and tears of, you know, people that aren't around anymore, and it was just great. You know, all the old hurling stories came to the fore, and it was just great. I suppose a lot of hurling talk last couple of days as well, so it was just great.
Well, it's a pretty hot topic up around the cross anyway, I think, generally, isn't it?
It definitely is.
And tell me, Paul, you're the man that masterminded. Has it sunk in yet?
It has now. After a couple of days celebrations there, I took a wee break out of there the other day.
And I was sitting back, the celebrations?
From the celebrations, and I was sitting back at work there, and I was just thinking, Jesus, we're the Ulster champions here, Ulster junior champions. And it did sink in, really. But I didn't mastermind this by myself now. I had a backroom team now, very, very good fellas there, Martin Callan. He'd always stand up and he'd tell the players, you know, what's right, what's wrong, what had to be done. You have Kieran McAvoy there. Kieran sees things in the field that way before I see them. He's a fantastic tactician. What he comes up with there, you know, in the training and what we're going to do for every game. Like, he analyses games down to the last, like every last percent. Kieran has it noted. You've got Sherlock then, Declan, you know, what work he put on the waist there this year. You know, we brought a new dimension to our back line there with our hooking and blocking and never stopping for a ball. And, you know, then you've my father there, Eamon. Look, he's always thereabouts. Look, he'll do a bit of scowling and he'll scowl me and tell me what I'm doing wrong and keep me right. So, look, it wasn't just myself, you know, I was the backroom team. And look, here, without them, you know, Setanta wouldn't have done it.
And, you know, it's been a couple of seasons in the making, I suppose, as well.
It's 10 seasons making, Tom. We sat back in 2008, and as Kevin says there, look here, we thought we wouldn't be far away. We lost an awful lot of very, very good players, sort of 2009, 2010, you're talking, you know, Anthony McDade, Terence McDade, Ryan Warrens, Gannon, you know, Gary Doherty was there, you know, some serious hurlers, Jared Dwyer, Kevin Nolan. We lost all them, and with a young crop of fellas coming through there, you know, Richie Key, Maffo, Baron Lafferty, boys that got there, and it took sort of 6-7 years for them boys to develop into men to get us where we got there on Sunday.
So obviously a lot of work done at underage?
An awful lot of, well, underage, we're always doing work at underage there. I left the Jason there before we came over here this evening and up past the pitch there, and like Danny Collins out in under 14s there this evening. you know, we do work all through the winter with underage, and it's the senior boys that are out playing on Sunday that does the work with the young fellas, you know, and that's what makes the club a very good club and a tight-knitted club, and sort of, you know, we work for one another the whole way through, not just the team, but the whole way through the club.
And you mentioned Danny Cullen there, and obviously there's a Danny Cullen, obviously the man that was behind the club at the beginning, Danny Senior. I know he was. It was a proud weekend for him, I'm sure.
Well, I said it down the cross there, look, whenever they're making speeches there, whenever we got as far as the cross, and I just tell everybody, we wouldn't be here only for old Danny Cullen, and just to say a wee prayer for him. Look, he's in the hospital there up in Erie Kennedy tonight. I hope he's listening. And Danny, look, you know, Kevin was up seeing them earlier on, and he is very proud. He's sitting reading papers there, and I think it's lifted his spirits an awful lot.
Yeah. And Jason Ewing, as I say, back in again this week. Tell me, did you think, because you hurled with the club, you were there from very early on, your dad, obviously, Stanley, highly involved in the club, your family highly involved. Did you ever think you'd see the day?
I hoped we would see the day. 07, I thought was going to be a year. We thought 08 was going to be a year. And then, as what the two boys were saying here, we thought maybe 09, 010, we'd be back again. But look, it looked bleak for a few years. Mm. But this year now, I knew at the start of the year when Paul came back in and wanted to take the team on this year again, and he put his plan to the club, what he was looking to do this year, I had a feeling that this was going to be a very, very good year for our club. Mm. And it has transpired that it has been an excellent year for our club. Mm. We're not finished yet.
Yeah, yeah.
We have no Ireland to go yet, so, you know, we'll go to 2017 in the high, and hopefully we'll start after 2018 in the high as well.
We'll talk about that in a moment. Obviously, the sights have to be set now on Croke Park and All-Ireland final day, but there's a jump or two to be taken before that. But tell me, the older people, the older hurlers, the older people in the community, what have been they saying to you since?
It's been fantastic. On Sunday after the game, when we were standing up, getting the cup on McCool Park, and we were sitting, standing, looking down, and faces that I haven't seen for maybe 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years at a hurling game. It was fantastic to see them players, past members of our club there, and relishing the day that was in it, and knowing what it meant to those people that were there who set the foundations for us down through the years. It was fantastic to see it, including, like, my own father was there. He came up to us after the game, like, and it meant as much to him as it meant to the players. Mm-hmm. As well, and there was Anthony McDade, Terence McDade was all there. Fantastic to see it.
Yeah. And obviously it really unites the club, doesn't it?
It does. Like, and when we landed back into the cross at, I think it was approximately 5:15 on Sunday evening, I would estimate that there was anything between 400 and 500 people met us at the cross, and like that really sent a shiver through us, like, to see that's what it meant to our community, our parish, that, you know, that we come back with the Ulster title.
And something that lifts spirits in the parish, doesn't
it? It does. It lifts the spirits of the parish big time, you know. Yeah. And as what the boys were saying as well, like, to see them young fellas at 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years of age upwards looking up to these boys, and they've something now to aspire to. It's fantastic. It's definitely fantastic.
Thought to Gears of Legend Clark coming, Luke Clasky, and a shock on the show with me, Tom Comack, in studio tonight. I've got the O'Rourke Cup, that's the Ulster Junior Championship Cup. There's just one other Donegal name on that was Burt from 2011. And, the new name to be engraved on it now is that of Satanta, the newly crowned champions, who defeated Namahia from Derry on Sunday in McCool Park. Pretty close game, it has to be said. Probably Satanta made a little bit harder work of it than they should. 223 to 311. That's how it ended. Just 3 points between them. And the team captain, Kevin Campbell, is here with me as well, as is Paul Campbell, his brother, who is the team manager. And, of course, Jason Ewing, the chairman, who you heard there just a couple of moments ago. And, Kevin, you scored 11 of the 23 points, back in form.
It's, you know, you get days that everything goes for you and days that things don't go for you. But, you know, look, most are all free. So, you know, my job is to hit the freeze. And, you know, if I wasn't going to do the job, someone else was going to do it. And, look, just thankfully went over in the day. And,
yeah. And tell me, remind me about the game. 217, sorry.
2-7. We started very well. I think we went 1-6 to no score up. And to be quite honest, I suppose I was a bit naive. And I turned around and I thought to myself, geez, this game over already. Because we were hurling very well. Now, Namaya at the same time had missed maybe 4 or 5 good scoring chances. They went down the end, high ball come off the post. I suppose on our behalf, but a slack defending, soft enough goal to come back into it. We conceded a couple of very soft frees in, and you know, I suppose we're lucky enough to get in, just to get in at half time and regroup.
But there are harsh words from the boss at half time.
There's always harsh words from the boss at half time and full time and before the game. You never get too much praise from him. But you know, like at the beginning of the year, we talked about, you know, being honest with each other and you know not holding things back. And you know, there's a lot of harsh words said at half time. And thankfully, the boys come out and you know, even whenever the goals did go in against us, you know, we were still composed enough. And you know, we knew how to see out the game. And it was a great day just to get over it.
Sorry, Paul has corrected me. It was 217. That was 23 points anyway to 311. That's 23 points to 20. 217, and Kevin Campbell scored 11 points of those. Declan Coulter got 6-1-6, and Bernard Lafferty got the other goal. So a good all round performance. And Paul, what next? I know when we spoke on Saturday morning, you were saying that you hadn't even contemplated looking beyond Sunday's game, and obviously that's the wise thing to do. But I did hear you say to Oisin Kelly, was it on Sunday evening, that you were tempted on Saturday night, you had to look at the fixtures. You must be feeling confident.
Well, at a wee sneaky look, just you have to look past. Lucky we were going to the final, and I had sort of a wee inkling that we could push on and won it. And look, I wanted to just see who was going to be Munster, and you were going to be meet Munster. There's a couple of very, very good teams sitting down on there. There's a Waterford team on there. I think they've got two senior all-stars playing the team. Ardmore of Waterford, I'd say, is going between them and St. Catharines, who's going to come out of Munster. And they're two serious hurling teams. And we'll get around, we'll take a look at them. We'll try and do a wee bit of homework on them and see where we go from there.
Congratulations, Jason Ewing, and all the staff and players and coaches and management. Relations listening to Highland Radio on the app down in Galway, believe it or not. So I'm sure you know who that is, do you?
I do indeed.
Who is it?
It's Peter Dunigan.
And of my mother's family.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. Obviously, good hurling folk. Mention of Galway as well, and on a sadder note, a great Galway supporter and Eirua club stalwart, John Larkin. And both of you, most of you would know him, in actual fact, a stalwart for Eirua. He's passed away. Untimely death happened earlier this week. His funeral is tomorrow, in actual fact, in St. Patrick's Church in Ballyshannon. He passed away, a young man. I know you probably know him, Kev. Jason probably played hurling against him.
I probably did play hurling against him, but I've known him from underage and stuff like that. And Ballyshannon used to run a tournament over the Easter weekend, and it was John himself that would have run that now, and would have got to know him through that. And any time we would have been over in Ballyshannon, he was always about with the underage and stuff. He'd been along with John Rooney, and he'd been over in our own field braving off and with teams. He'd been bringing teams over and stuff. A gentleman, absolute gentleman.
A native of Aughrim in Galway. Kiltormer, I think, was his club, steeped in the GAA tradition and in the hurling tradition. And our sympathies to his wife Teresa, his sons John Jr., Martin, and to his daughters Claire and Louise. Lads, look at we'll talk to you again, obviously. And is that the celebrations over, Kevin, or is there going to go on for another few days?
No, I think you know, there's wives scowling now and girlfriends scowling now at this stage, and we're boys not going home for a couple of days. So, no, look, I think it's time to draw the line on it now. And but definitely, like, it's I suppose we'll have to have another wee celebration at the dinner dance again.
Paul, what's the plan now? Do you take a break? Because obviously, I think you're the All-Ireland semi-final isn't until January sometime, is it?
It's the third weekend in January. Look, we're taking a break this week. We'll go back to training 3 nights a week next week. We've lined up a couple of friendly matches there. We're hoping to get playing against Middleton, who's representing Ulster in the Intermediate Championship. We'll probably get a game against maybe Jordanstown or Queens or one of them boys. But no, we'll be going flat out 3 nights a week from now through to the third week in January. There's no point in pulling the brakes on now.
So obviously the goal now is to get to Croke Park.
Goal is to get to Croke Park. Look, it'll be absolutely amazing, you know, for the likes of some of them young fellas to get to Croke Park. That, you know, they've been sitting dreaming about that. That's what you do whenever you're a wee fella out beating a ball against the wall. Look here, it's all the game, the whole aim is to get to Croke Park. And look here, we're able to lead them boys out in Croke Park there on the All-Ireland final. It's going to be absolutely fantastic.
But obviously the Munster champions are going to be quality.
They're going to be quality, surely. Probably Catherine's or Cork, as I said, Ardmore, Waterford. I think they've two
Prendergasts, Seamus and Declan.
Seamus and Declan Prendergast play with Ardmore. Look, you're going up against that class of hurler, and you know we haven't come up against that sort of class in many a long year. So we'll have to step up our game, and look here, wee rub of the green, wee bit of luck, bit of hard work. You never know what can happen.
And Jason, the final word to you. When is the dinner dance? When is the next big celebration? Or has it been?
It hasn't been decided yet. As they sit down now, we have a club meeting on Friday night. So hopefully we can maybe get it in place before then, or get it organised and see what we can come up with.
Look at Jason Ewing, to Kevin Campbell, to Paul Campbell. Congratulations once again, Satanta, on winning the Ulster Junior Championship. I know everybody in Donegal is very proud of you, and best of luck in the All-Ireland semi-final. We'll talk to you again ahead of that.
Thank you very much, Tom.
The GAA programme with Tom Comack, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, catering for clubs and schools with customised teamwear.
Fáilte Ascoigh and Clark and Luke Clascale a shock to the show with me, Tom Comack, as always on a Wednesday night here until 9 o'clock. Coming up shortly, we'll be joined by Hugh Devaney of Donegal and Pat Chapman from Fermanagh, both stalwarts of Ulster Ladies Gaelic football and the Ladies Gaelic football in general. Ulster Ladies celebrating their 25th anniversary this weekend. They have a big banquet in Kelly's Inn and Garvahy in Tyrone on Friday night. But before we are joined by Pat and by Hugh, just to remind you again, it's Scorn and Og time, and the two county semi-finals of the Scorn and Og are on this weekend. On Friday night, Moville GA Club are hosting one of the semi-finals, and the other semi-final is on in the Burtonport Community Centre in Burtonport, obviously hosted by the Dunlow GA Club on Saturday night. Both shows start at 7:30, so a very good night's entertainment there. All that's good in Irish traditional music, song, recitation, quizzes, everything. But getting on the way, the semi-finals in the Scorn and Og competition, and I know for Fergus Mickey, he has done a lot of work in recent years in reviving the competition, and it's going from strength to strength. Before the break there, we spoke to Kevin Campbell, captain of Satanta, Paul Campbell, the manager of Satanta, and Jason Ewing, of course, the chairman of Satanta, who won that Ulster Junior Hurling Championship last weekend, and now looking forward to an All-Ireland semi-final against the Munster champions. But it's to ladies football we turn, and the ladies game in Ulster is celebrating its 25th anniversary this weekend. That's since the formation of the Ulster Ladies Gaelic Association. That was in 1991, and two of the men who've been there for a long period of that time, not maybe quite from day one, is Hugh Devaney of Donegal and Pat Chapman from Fermanagh. First of all, Pat, a very good night to you and welcome to the programme.
Good evening to your listeners.
And it's the same Hugh to you, obviously, a fairly regular on the programme, but good to have you back as well, maybe wearing an Ulster hat tonight.
Yes, perhaps so, yes, yes. It's the old brain memory you hold out.
Yeah, well, it's not to know your sport or anything like that. But, and Hugh Devaney as well, welcome to you as well. And, well, we'll start with you, Pat, first of all. Tell me, your association with the ladies' game in Ulster and when that began.
Well, my initial association with ladies football was at the Fermanagh Convention in 1992 that I went as a delegate for the first man of Newton Butler, and Peter Quinn, the president of Oakland Community Scale, was present in his own county to chair the meetings, and at the Devonish Club, who had won the Fermanagh Championship, had a number of ladies moved into official capacities within the club, you know. And I supported a motion from the ladies of Devonish for a ladies' competition to be set up.
Yeah.
In Fermanagh, and Peter Quinn vehemently opposed it. He said it was unladylike and it was dangerous. And I myself and Peter had a hearty debate on the floor over it, because my theory was that The Comogi was maybe a long-standing ally of the GAA, but equally more dangerous.
And that was in 92, but the Ulster Ladies had been set up, I think, the year before, had it?
The ladies' football, that ladies' football had commenced in Ulster in 19. A gentleman named Philip Kelly in from Monaghan, and Oliver Gavin, and there was another number, I think there was some people from Donegal there as well, at the initial setting up of it. But they had a competition in 1992, all right, that Armagh and Monaghan contested that, and Monaghan won it, I think, and in the following year, 1993, myself and Aidan Cox had contrived to get a county team together, and we got it, and we didn't play a game, but our first game was was against Armagh, and we beat Armagh. Lo and behold, we beat Armagh in our first game of football, and who did we meet in the final? Only Donegal. Joan Barron saw to us that we said was no mercy show to us. Yeah, so we got a right hiding in it. So Donegal won their first also title in 1993 against Fermanagh. Yeah. Now that's the initial starting on it, and from there it developed. Four other counties came in. 1995, Cavan came in, and Down and Derry and the other counties sort of slowly gathered momentum into a nine county competition before the end of the decade.
Yeah. And the attitude of Peter Quinn to ladies football, it would be a general enough attitude in the GAA.
Oh, he was reflecting the year before, the man who came before him, the Mayo man, I can't think his name now, Loftus.
Dr. McLaughlin.
He was vehemently opposed to ladies football on the grounds as was unladylike and and dangerous.
Yeah.
Basically with breast injuries and whatnot. You know, this was the general idea. But Peter didn't, as reflective as he always was, and he said, "Do you know?" He says, "This is not the place for that." He says, "Ulster have a council. Have a football council," and he says that's the place. So a gentleman by the name of Sean Tracy was the assistant secretary of the men's county board, and Sean and myself had a conversation, and Sean took it on himself for to arrange a meeting, and the Ulster council, Oliver Gavin and Oliver Gavin and Philip Kelly Philip O'Hare from Down came, and we Fermanagh had his first county board and first introduction to ladies football.
And of course, you were telling me earlier today, you were the guy that enticed you, if any, to get involved.
Oh well, it would be a different story. The first nine years was a wee bit stormy. You know, with what one would describe, and being, you want to be diplomatic enough about it now, in it there would be cartels who would, you know, and they would have got together trying to, you know, to keep the thing to themselves, and it was stormy. You know, myself and your Charlie Kavanagh there would have been hot pokers in the middle of them, you know. we wouldn't be the flavour of the meetings now. And all the meetings would have been contrived before, you know, how the agendas would have been. And but then again, it came up then that I was I had been a development officer, and I had been working hard. I introduced school football to Ulster. Unfortunately, one of those cartels opposed me. I'm not going to go into any details on it. And I had the whole job to do myself. I had to go around the schools and also, and I had to do all the secondary work myself.
Yeah.
But I got the school football going in Ulster, which is in a very strong position today.
Pat, we're going to have to cut you short there. And I'm sorry about this, but we're going to have to get you back some other night, yourself and Hugh. But Hugh, before the clock is catching up on us here, we just ran a little over on the last subject. But Hugh, a big banquet on Friday night.
Yeah, good evening, Tom. Good evening, listeners. Yeah, actually, Saturday night,
yeah.
And Kelly's and Gavahi, yeah, we're expecting 250 for the black tie function in Kelly's Inn to commemorate her 25 years of football in Ulster.
Yeah, and is it booked out or sold out at this stage?
Yeah, it's sold out at this stage, yeah.
Yeah, and what's on the agenda? Is there a big awards on, or is there just a down memory lane, or just...
Well, there's an award being made to one person from each of the nine counties in Ulster. It's up to every county to nominate somebody for the presentation for the award on the night. So there'll be nine presentations taking place on the night, one for each county in Ulster.
You and Pat, look, unfortunately the clock has caught up with us. I'm going to get you back some other night and we'll have a good long chat about it, because obviously I think the last 25 years of ladies football and the way the ladies game has developed in the province and developed in national, we're going to have to look at it in deeper. My apologies about that. But just to remind you, of course, as well, big weekend on the Ulster club football scene. Three Donegal teams, Kilcar, Milford and Neave Colum Kill, all chasing places in Ulster finals. Kilcar play Clochneil, Milford play Ross Trevor, and Neave Colum Kill play Tatty Ray from Tyrone. From me, Tom Comack, from Jimmy Stafford on sound, from my guest tonight, Slán agus Bannach, Gian Seacht an Seohugainn.